On Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, about six lines down from the top, the Mishnah had established that Misara Leroeh, if the owner of the animal gave his animal over to a shepherd, Nichnas Haroeh Tachtov, the Roeh now becomes responsible as a substitute for the owner to be shomer, to make sure that the animal doesn't go out and damage. And if the animal damages, the roeh becomes responsible for paying damages. The Gemara now is going to bring a proof from our Mishnah for the din of shomer shemasar l'shomer. The sugya of shomer shemasar l'shomer is in Bava Metzia on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And there the question is, if a first shomer passes on the object to a second shomer, does the first shomer remove himself from any liability, from any chiyuvim vis-a-vis the bailim? And now the second shomer replaces the first shomer. That's one opinion. So that means that shomer shemasa l'shomer is potter, the first shomer is potter, the second shomer is chayiv. The second opinion is that the first shomer is chayiv. And the Gemara there quotes a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Why should the first shomer be chayav? And the Gemara offers two explanations. One is that the owner of the animal or the object, whatever the item is, the mafkid says, "Ein ritzoni shehei pikdoni v'yaracher, I trusted you, and I didn't trust anyone else." And that was the shomer rishon, it was your responsibility to provide shmira. Giving it to someone else is a kapat. And that's not a fulfillment of your obligation vis-a-vis the mafkid, because the mafkid wants you and only you to be shomer. The Gemara offers a second explanation, that the mafkid, the owner, has a right to say, "I trust your shvua, I don't trust the shvua of anyone else, not the shomer sheni." Now we get to our Gemara, Amri. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Tachtov Deman. When we say that the Roeh replaces, as far as Chiyuvei Nezakin are concerned, the person who gave him the animal to watch, to shepherd, right? Who is that person who gave it to him? Who is the Roeh replacing? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, which was our initial intuition when we learned the Mishnah. Tachtov Debala Behema, that is the owner of the Behema. The Roeh fits in and fills in for the owner of the Behema with all the responsibilities of Nezikin. So the Gemara asks, Tanina Chada Zimna, we already have that in an earlier Mishnah, back on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah establishes Misaro Shomer Chinam Ulashol and Osei Socher Lusocher Kulam Nichnasu Tachas HaBailim. The principle that the Shomer replaces the Bailim as far as Chiyuvei Nezikin is concerned is already formulated in the Mishnah. Why would our Mishnah repeat what we already have in an earlier Mishnah? Ella. But rather, our Mishnah is talking about a different case when it says Nichnas Haroeh Tachtov. Tachtov Dishomer. We're talking, this is a Hemshech, this is a continuation of that Mishnah. In the original Mishnah back on Daf Mem Dalet, there was a Shomer, any of the four categories of Shomerim, who become responsible. Now that first Shomer passes on the animal to a Roeh. And the Mishnah wants to say that Nichnas Roeh Tachtov, our Mishnah is adding an additional rung here on this ladder, an additional chiddush, namely that Shomer Kama Iftalei L'Gamri, the first Shomer becomes completely misula, completely removed from any sort of obligation of Shmira, protecting the Zokin. And now if the Nizak wants to come to claim damages, he goes to the Roeh, to the second Shomer. And not only that, but the Bailim, the original owner, have a right to be Tovea from the Shomer Sheni, the Nezek. The simple pshat in the Gemara of Shomer Kama Iftalei L'Gamre means that the Nizak, when he comes to claim compensation for the damage that he suffered, he cannot come to claim to the Shomer Rishon. He has no tain against Shomer Rishon. He has a tain against the Roeh. But Rashi here Dibra Maschil Elatacht of the Shomer says the Azli Bailim Umishtau Dina Baharisheni Varishan Mistalik. Rashi seems to introduce a claim of the Bailim, in this case not against the first Shomer, but against the second Shomer. And in fact, the understanding of Rashi, which is suggested by the Marshal, is that what happened was, in this case, the animal itself got lost. There was a nezek to the animal gufa. That's the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal. And the question now is, the Bailim who lost his animal, from whom does he claim Tashlumin? And Rashi says that when the Gemara establishes Shomer Kama Iftalei Legamrei, the Bailim has no claim against the first Shomer, because the first Shomer gave it over to the shepherd, to the Roa. However, the Pnei Yoshua learns it differently, that we're talking about the Nizak, and the Nizak has two choices. He can sue the Shomer, or he can sue the Bailim. And here we're talking about a case where the Nizak decided to sue the Bailim, and the Bailim is now going to have to go back and be Tover the Shomer, in this case the Roa. That's the interpretation of the Pnei Yoshua. But be that as it may, getting back to our sugya, the Gemara establishes a proof from our Mishnah that Shomer Shemusel Shomer Potu, which means the first Shomer is Potu, the second Shomer is Chayev. That's going to be difficult according to the Mandi Omar in Bav Metzia, who maintains that the first Shomer remains Chayev, and it was a Pshia when he gave it over to the second Shomer. So the Gemara rejects this and says, Ella, the Mishnah has a different idea. Tachtov Dishomer. I'm sorry. Lema Tevi Tuvta de Rova. The Omer Rova Shomer Shemusel Shomer Chayev. Shall we assume that our Mishnah is a stira against Rav, who holds that Shomer Shemusel is Shomer Chayev, the first Shomer remains Chayev? And the Gemara says, no. Amalecha Rav, Rav says the following. My Misar L'Roe, our Mishnah is talking about a unique case. Who is this Roe? L'Barzilei. It means that the animal was initially given over to a Roe, and now the Roa gave it over to his apprentice. Di urche de Roa lemimsar lebarzle. In other words, it's understood when a person has an animal and he gives it over to the supervision of a shepherd, that it's not just the shepherd, but it's also the shepherd's entourage there. You know, his students, his disciples, his family members, whoever it is. And that's not considered a pshia to have the Barzilei, this apprentice, provide shmira. And therefore, even though Rava, as a general rule, says Shomer Shemusel Shomer Chayev, there's a pshia in giving it over to the second shomer. Nevertheless, this is the exception to the rule. Ika diamri, the Gemara has another presentation of this shakl v'tarya. Midik tani. Misara leroe veloktani misara liachishmamina demai misara leroe misara roe lebarzilei. That from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say as a general statement that the Bailim handed over the animal over to a shomer, but rather the Bailim handed over the animal to a roe. What's unique? What's special about a roe? It must be because we're talking about a Barzilei. This is the disciple, as we said, of the Roa. And the Roa himself is Potter for giving it over to the Barzilei. The Orche de Roa, Limimsar le Barzilei. It was understood from the get-go that the Roa would invite the Barzilei to provide the Shmira. Avoliacher lo. But had the Roa given it over to someone else other than the Barzilei, let's say he gave it over to a third party, a Shomer, and that would be Shomer Shemusel Shomer, then the Roa would not be Potter. He's only Potter because he gave it to the Barzilei, and it's understood within the context of the contractual agreement between the Baal HaBeim and the Roa that he would do so. So the Gemara says, Lema Misayel Leila Rav Diyama Rav Shomer Shemusel Shomer Chayav, from the fact that there's a unique Ptur in the case of the Roeh who gave it to his Barzalei, meaning the first Shomer, the Roeh is Potur. Had he given it over to someone else, the first Shomer, the Roeh, would be Chayev, meaning Shomer Shemosel Shomer Chayev. Amri, the Gemara says, lo, there's no proof from Mishnah to support Rav. Adilma, Orcha de Milsak Tani. The Mishnah is only talking Behova meaning in a general, relevant and common situation, common case. There'd be no difference as to whether the Roeh gave it to his Barzalei or someone else who was responsible. Shomer Shemosel Shomer Potter, not like Rav. Who had din liacher? He would be Potter. Why does the Mishnah mention that he gave it to his Barzalei? The answer is because that's a common situation. And now, Rabosei, we're about to embark on a new sugya. And this is the sugya of Shomer Aveda. So it's a pretty famous world-class sugya. And this sugya is going to lead into another sugya here on Daf Nun Zayin, which is the sugya called Toein Tainas Ganav Bepikod. Itmar, we learned Shomer Aveda, the great controversy about the status of a person who finds a lost object. And the Torah says that he has to take it into his house until he locates and identifies the owner to return to the object to the owner. V'yasafto el tok beisecha. And the Shomer is now obligated within the framework of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to guard the object. He's got to air it out if it's a talis and so forth and so on. He is a Shomer. And he's appointed as such by the Torah. What kind of a shomer, what status of a shomer does he have? That's the subject of the controversy between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba Amar, kishomer chinam dami. After all, he's not being paid for the shmira, and therefore he's a shomer chinam who's chai for pshia, but he's part of a gneva aveda. So if this aveda was stolen, and we can identify the owner, and the owner says, well, here's the shomer, and he did not provide the perfect level of shmira. As a result, my object was stolen. The Torah appointed this shomer aveda as a shomer. I'd like to sue him for the loss of my object. The shomer who found the aveda is claiming that it was stolen, and therefore he's potur. Says Rab, indeed, we accept the argument of the defendant, in this case the Shomer Aveda, because his status is that of a Shomer Chinam, who's potter from Gneva via Aveda. And this is the primary difference between a Shomer Chinam, who's not being paid for a Shmira, and a Shomer Sach, who's being paid. And there are three parshias in Shomrim. There's the parsha Rishona, which is that the Shomer is potter from Gneva. The parsha Shnia says that he's chayev on Gneva. And potter for Onsim. The parsha Shlisha says that he's chayev be Onsim. The first parsha in which the Torah says he's potter from Gneva is talking about a Shomer Chinam. The second where he's chayev from Gneva, but potter be Onsim is Shomer Sachar. And the third parsha where he's chayev and Onsim, that's a Shoel. And this is all charted out by the Sugim Bav Metzia Tzadi Dalet Omid Beis. Rav Yosef disagrees with Rav Amar Kishomer Socher Dami. And the Gemara is going to have to explain why Rav Yosef insists that a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Socher. Who's paying him as a Shomer? He's doing it gratis. He's doing it L'shem Mitzvah. Why would he be chai for Gneva Aveda like a Shomer Socher? Rabba Omar, the Gemara clears off the simple shita of Rabba, Kishomer Chinam Dami. And why is that? My Hana Kamotile. What benefits, which would have a value as Shomer Kesser's money, a market value, what benefits is the Shomer getting? No one's paying the Shomer Chinam. And when a person lifts up an Aveda that he finds, he becomes a Shomer on the Aveda because the Torah was Mechay of him, and he's Mekabel on himself, Shmir, but he's not being paid for it. Again, you might say he's being Nene because Hashem will pay him a reward, a benefit for a mitzvah, But that's the principle of mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnua. A mitzvah is not done for the sake of hanoah, and that hanoah is not something that you can give a price tag to. Anyway, Rava makes sense intuitively. Rav Yosef amik shomasach adami. What monetary benefits is he getting? Who's paying him for the shmirah? And Rav Yosef comes with a very complex svara here. He says, by hi hanoah, what is the monetary gain of a shomer? Delo boy lemesiv lerifta lianye. That while the shomer is involved in befall and implementing his obligation, fulfilling his obligation of shmirah vis-a-vis the object that he found, and we gave the example before of a talis that he has to air out the talis, so that when he finds the owner, he identifies the bialim, he's able to be mekayim the chiyuv hashav saveda in the most perfect way by giving back the object in its perfect state. So while he's involved in that act of Shmira is not just lock it up in your safe and passively fulfill your Shmira, but there are active involvements. There's an Isuk, there's what we call a Tipul B'Aveda. And while he's being metapol in the Aveda, somebody comes knocking on the door, in this case an Oni, a poor person who's asking for a loaf of bread. And we have a principle, Osik B'Mitzvah, Potim in a Mitzvah. Now, the shomer is potur, he's exempt from the financial obligation. Now, the way that the sugya sees it, tzedakah is not just a mitzvah. Tzedakah is a monetary obligation. It's, in a sense, like a tax. And as a result of the fact that the shomer is being metapol in the Aveda, says Rav Yosef, he's potur, he's exempt from this tax. Again, I don't mean tax in the pejorative sense to remove the element of the mitzvah here, but above and beyond the Yerodea aspect, there's also a Choshev Mishpat aspect to the Chiyuv Tzedakah. And that aspect is a tax. It's a financial payment that he has to pay. In fact, the Gaon says in Hilchos Tzedakah and Yerodea that if he doesn't pay, he doesn't give a rift olianya, then Bezdin is Yardin l'nechasav, like any Chov, we can confiscate his possessions in order to fulfill that obligation, that tax. Is therefore, says Rav Yosef, Havik Yishomer Sochar. He has the status of a Shomer Sochar because he's gaining a benefit, even though, again, he's not being paid in the positive sense. He's only saving himself a loss. But that, too, is considered a gain. And as a result, he becomes a Shomer Sochar. Ikin Mefarshi Hachi. There is a second Lishna to justify or to present the logic that underlies Rabbi Yosef's chiddush, his commitment to the fact that the Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sochar. Rabbi Yosef Amik Shomer Sochar Domi Kevid Rachmona Shabdei Baal Karche Hilkach Yishomer Sochar Domi. Meaning, the ideal vision of Shmira is the higher level of Shmira. If the Torah imposes a Chiv Shmira on he who picks up a lost object, he finds a lost object, he picks it up, and immediately that hakbah, that picking it up, lifting it up, engenders a chi of shmir, which the Torah itself imposes upon the shomer, whether he likes it or not, then in the vision of the Torah of what a shomer looks like and what his obligations are and the extent to which he has to provide shmira, the perfect shmira is that of a shomer sachar, who's paid for it. That's the, in a sense, paradigm of shmira. You pay for shmira, and the shomer has to provide the higher level of shmira. The Gemara now offers a list of brisos. There's a mnemonic device here to help you remember it. Zero liolam hashev chia amrit nishbar sachar, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different brisos, which are going to be quoted here as proof, either to the shita, in most cases the shita of Yosef, that a shomer aveda has the status of a shomer sachar, or to the shita of Rabba, that the Shomer Sochar has the status of a Shomer Chino. So let's begin with the first, which is called Hechzira, and this Brisa is going to analyze the definition, the question of Hachzara, meaning Hashava. Once the Shomer Aveda identifies the owner, what is the extent of his obligation? Does he have to make sure that when he returns the object, let's say the bialim is not to be found, he's on vacation, or more likely he's in work during certain hours of the day. The shomer doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the time and the patience to wait there at his doorstep 24/7 until the owner comes back and he hands him over from yad liyad the aveda. So what constitutes a valid hashava to pater up the shomer, in this case the shomer aveda, from his chiyuvim? Eisvei Rav Yosef l'Rava, and here we turn to Daf Nun Zayin Omer Aleph. The Brisa says, with regard to someone who finds an aveda hechzira l'makom shir ena, as long as the shomer returns the object that he found to the bialim in a position, he puts it in a position that the bialim will find it. Let's say he puts it on his porch, his doorstep. So when the bialim come in and out, they'll see it. When he goes out to work, he'll see it. When he comes back from work, he'll see it. He'll find it. Is eno chayav letapel ba. According to the ratio of this brisa, immediately when the object was placed by the shomer aveda in place in a location or position where the assumption, we have every reason to assume that the bialim will go out, go in, he'll find it, he's already fulfilled his mitzvah shava, and the shomer is now completely exonerated. He's completely alleviated from any responsibility to be metapel in the aveda. He was mekayim as hoshava l'bailim, as again a monetary hoshava, also as a kima mitzvah. And the question, of course, is: wait a minute, he put it there. Let's say the bailim are going to come out. Let's say he placed it there at 6 a.m. You know, on his way back from Vasikiv. The bailim are going to leave to work at 8:30. So for 2 hours, it's going to sit there exposed on the porch. I mean, any ganav could come along and take it. And that's the kasha that the Achronim ask over here. You'll see it in Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, in the Evan Ozil. Why shouldn't he be worried about Gneva and Aveda in that period of time, that window of time between placing it on the doorstep of the Bailam until the Bailam actually go out and retrieve it? And the Evan Ozil quotes a sugya in Bava Metzia on Daf Pei Gimel, that if a shomer goes into a city at a time period when the roim, the shepherds, are there, and he leaves the behem in a sada, and then it gets attacked by a zev, by a ferocious wolf, he's potter. Why? Because that's the way shomerim do it. So there's a halacha, again, that has to be analyzed in the context of that sugi called kiderech hashomerim. And it means that even if it's stolen in that limited window of time, he's potter because he did kiderech hashomer. And here too, in terms of hashova, you put it on the doorstep. You know, it's a short period of time till the bialim get it. It's like, you know, when they go out to get their newspaper on the thing, that's when they'll find the object. Now we learn the sefer, the brisa. The sefer says nigneva o avda chayav b'achri yusa. Now, again, we've just established that the hashava was achieved by placing it in an area, in a location, on the doorstep of the bialim, where he'll go out and he'll go in, he'll see it. So what's this nignavo of the chayav b'achri yusa? My love, shouldn't we assume, nignavo of the love, she nignavo mibeso, v'yavda mibeso. The Sefer the Brisa is not addressing the chiyuv hashava and defining what constitutes a valid hashava, but rather the fundamental issue of chiyuv shmira. And in this case, the shomer aveda, who picked up the aveda, took it into his house. As we said before, the pasuk says, "Vasafta tov peisecha." And now the thieves came in and stole it. Or somehow the if it was, let's say, an animal, it got lost. We can't find the animal. And the Mishnah establishes that in such a case, the shomer is chayuv because of his status of shomer, namely, he's chayv gneva aveda under the law of shomer sachar. And this is a proof text for Rav Yosef against Rava. Lo, the Gemara says no. Mi makom shech zira, it was stolen from the place where he returned it. And Rava here too, Rava would bemode that although in general a shomer aveda is potter from gneva aveda, he has the status of a shomer chino, but here he's chayav for gneva aveda within the context of a hashava. which seems to indicate that Hashavah L'Makom She'irenu Abaylim is considered a Pshia, and that contradicts the Reish of the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. How can you possibly say that in the Sefer the Brisa is establishing that the Shomer must return it in a way that he will guarantee that absolutely won't be stolen, it won't be lost? Vaktani, it says in the Reish of the Brisa, Einu Chayv Litapel Ba, that once he puts it in a place, a makom sheir and a bailim, then he's already exonerated, alleviated from any chiv of tipul or malay. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, "Hachmayaskinon kigon shech zira bitzar raya." There are different periods of time. The day is broken up into its various component parts. If we're talking about the morning period of time, you know, before somebody goes out to work, normally people go out to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, then that's a good ashava, and that's the reish and a chayv litapel. But he puts it in a place where the bailim in a short span of time is going to find it. But then you have tzaharayim. Tzaharayim means a time period in which everybody is busy at work. No one's really home in the house. That's why most genevas take place in the middle of the day. Vitartik tani, the Bryce is establishing here two dinim, one in the Reish and one in the Sefachik tani. The Bryce is analyzing and establishing the details of what constitutes Ashava. Hechzira v'shachris, you have to add the word shachris to the Reish of that Bryce. L'makom shireno v'shchiach, the aisle, and nothing at that time. It's absolutely assumed, it's normal and predictable that the person, the owner of the house, will go in, will go out. Chazilein, therefore, he will see the Aveda, and he'll be very happy to find the Aveda, take it into his house and lock it up. The Eino Chayav L'Tapel, but that at that point, the Shomer, since he placed the object in a Makom Shiren and Bailam in the morning in the Shachris, he is completely alleviated from any further Chiyuv Tipul. He doesn't have to worry about the object. The object will get to its owner. However, the Sefer, you have to add another word, Echzira Bitzaharayim. You have to add that word, Bitzaharayim. L'makom shireno, even though he placed it on the doorstep of the Bailim, but it's in the afternoon now, it's Lo Shliach, Shliach the Isle V'Nofik. That's not a period of time in which he goes in and out of the house, but rather he's out there in his field. And the Rosh says that it's Lav Dafka Tzaharayim. But any period of time during the course of the day in which the premise is that the Bailim are not going in and out, that's called Tzaharayim. There's a chiddush here in Tzaharayim that even though a person often comes home from work in the afternoon, l'fa'amim adam ba'amim l'achta l'beis of Tzaharayim, nevertheless, that's not a kiyum of the Chovas HaShava as a Chovas Mamon. And certainly other hours of the day when people are not around. And therefore, the Brisa says, the lo chazile. We don't assume that within a certain extended period of time, the Bailam are necessarily going to find the object. V'nignavo of the chai bachrusa, this is not called hashava. He's not going to see it. The Bailam are not going to find it within a certain period of time, and the ganav comes and takes it. The chiv achrais, the shomer, has not been alleviated as far as geneva and aveda. Therefore, Rabbi would hold that in this case, the shomer chinam, meaning the Shomer Avedus, the Shomer Chinam, is Chayv Midin Pshia. Eisvei, now we get to the second question. This is from the Sefer of the Brisa. The Brisa says, Li Olam Hu Chayv Ad Sheyachziren Ler Shuso. And the question is, why did the Brisa add the word Li Olam? What was the emphasis here? Always, he's Chayv. My Li Olam, Lav, shouldn't we interpret it? Afilu mi beso. That we're talking about the chiyuv for Geneva Faveda, not only within the context of Hashava, but also within the context of general Shmira, from the very moment that the Shomer Aveda lifts up the Aveda, takes it into his Rishus, is Afilu mi beso, Shma minoki Shomer Socher Domi. So Rav Yosef has a clear cut proof from this Brisa. Because the Brisa says Li Olam that he's chayav for Gnev Aveda. So the animal was stolen, the animal was lost from the base Hashomer, this is the Shomer Aveda, and you chayav. Obviously, the Shomer has the status of a Shomer Sachar. Amalei, Rabbi turns back to Rav Yosef and he says, Modin lecha bebalei chayim. The subject of this braisa is shmira on a bal chai. With regard to bal chai, there's a special status that you have to protect the animal and provide a shmira that would avoid gneva v'aveda. And if your shmira does not avoid and protect against gneva v'aveda, that's called pshia. And even Rava agrees that with regard to animals, there's a special status that you're chaya for gneva v'aveda, even though a shomer aveda in general is a shomer chinam, yet he's a shomer chinam who's chaya for gneva v'aveda, but again, only vis-a-vis animals. Now, what's the logic that Rava should be moda that he's chaya and it's pshia for gneva v'aveda in animals? The kevan dinakti lahu nigra, you know, the animal sort of moves outside. Beraisa, beraisa means outside, it takes steps. Nakti lahu nigra means it takes steps to move outside. The animal is animate, right? That's what an animal is. And it moves outside. There's also a possibility of interpreting this Gemara that on certain occasions the animal has already proved itself. For example, the base Aaron of Rav Volkin from Pinsk, he says that it was posh to the Gemara that we're talking about cases of Bali Chaim HaMelumadim Lotzeis. And therefore, since they roam around and they've proven themselves to do so, therefore, you know, you must, as a Shomer Aveda, provide Shmira such that it won't get lost. And if you don't do that, knowing full well that the animal has this propensity to roam and get lost, then you are a Poshea. And that's what it says here in the Gemara, Boi Nitirusa Yeserasa, meaning even Rava would agree that you're going to have to go the extra mile of providing Shmira against Gneva Veda, even though as a general rule, had it been an inanimate object, you would not be required to provide such a high level Shmira, because your status as a Shomer Veda is only that of a Shomer Chino. Now the tide is turning the other way. Eisvei Rabba or Rav Yosef, Rabba has a braisa that will prove that the status of a Shomer Aveda is that of a Shomer Chinam. The braisa is darshaning the pasuk of in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda, that's in Parashas Ki Tetze. It says Hashav Teshivem Le'achicha, and the braisa interprets it thusly. Hashev, why the double language? Hashev tishivem, Hashev ein li ella bibeso. When he returns the object, one Hashev would tell me that he's got to go all the way. The shomer has to actually go into the house of the bialim, plop the item on his dining room table. Leginaso ulechorvaso minayin. Is there another extended scope hashava that's acceptable, that's valid in the gina and the churva of the bialim, meaning an extended domain, not inside the house itself? Minayin, and the answer is tamad lomet teshivim. The extra teshivim mikomakom is expanding the possibilities of hashava. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is Rabba's analysis of the drush of the braisa. So my Leginasal Churvasa, what's the chiddush here? That you have an extra pasuk that tells you that you can be meshiv the aveda to the gina and the churva, to various extended places, you know, the yard and the garden of the bialim. Ilema leginasa mishtameres lechurvasa mishtameres. If we're talking about, for example, a garden that's fenced around, therefore it's mishtameres, it's very protected. Is Hainu Lebesa? I mean, what's the difference between the house where he plops it on his dining room table, as we said before, and his gina, which is a gina mishtameres? It's all the same. I mean, you can call it by different names, but essentially, as far as the concept of hashava, they're identical. So why would the braisa need a special pasuk to derive ginasa and churvaso elapshitu ginasa she'ena mishtameres? Now again, when you say ena mishtameres, I mean, all the Rishonim say you can't just darshan an extra pasuk that he leaves the object of hefker. It's going to get blown away by the wind. But it means Ginosa Shenim Shtameres means it's not the highest level of Shmira, it's the basic level of Shmira, what we call Shmira Pchusa, what we call a Ruach Mitsuya. It's Shenim Mishtameres from a Ruach Shenim Mitsuya. It's a Churvasa Shenim Shtameres from a Ruach Shenim Mitsuya. Obviously, it does provide the basic level of protection of a Ruach Mitsuya. Ishma Minok is Shomer Chinom Dami. You see that the extra word Teshivim clearly establishes the level of responsibility of a shomer aveda as that of a shomer chinam, and he only has to provide a protection, a shmir, from a ruach mitzuya, a shmir pchusa. Whereas, according to Rav Yosef, raising the bar and defining the shomer aveda as a shomer sach would require that the shomer provide a shmir even from a ruach shena mitzuya. Amalei, so Rav Yosef turns back to Rabbah and he defends himself. Olam, what's the case in this price? Legina mishtameres l'churva mishtameres. He's got to provide a high level of shmir. He's a shomer sachar, and means he's got to provide the shmir level even for ruach she'ena mitzuya. Udoka kashalach beso. If you're telling me hainu beso, this is exactly the same as bias. Why do I need an extra drush, an extra pasuk to include a gina mishtameres? Hakam mashmalon delo be'ina das bailim. And here we have a unique halacha within the context, the constellation of shomrim, with regard to one specific shomer, and that is a shomer aveda. In other words, as far as universal Shmira is concerned, a classical case of a mafkid who leaves his object in the custody of a shomer, what doesn't matter what kind of shomer, there's a halacha that you need hashava midas bailim. The owner of the object, the mafkid, must be notified. The exception to the rule, and that's based on this extra lima, this extra drasha of teshivim, this gzeres hakosav, this halacha miyuchedes in Shomer Aveda, is that with regard to Shomer Aveda, the Torah lowered the bar of hashava, didn't require hashava midas bailim. Again, as far as the chiyuv shmir on the object is concerned, you're going to have to provide the highest level of shmir, that of a shomer sachar, and you'll be chayef gneva aveda. You have to worry about a ruach shena mitzuya. But do you have to notify the bialim as a separate din? In all cases of a shomer, whatever shomer it is, all four categories of shomer, or for that matter, even a ganav and a gazlan, when they return the object, hashava requires das bialim. We must know, it's a prerequisite, an absolute requirement, that there's yediyas habailim, that the object has been returned to their domain, to their property. Chutz, the only exception, is hashavas aveda. The Torah says, hashav teshivim, sharei ribsa bo Torah hashavas harbe, and the Torah allows for an expanded hashava that would include even the absence of das bailim. Again, this doesn't impact on the level of shmira and the responsibility of the shomer. We're talking about Rabbah, and we identify the shomer aveda as a shomer sachar. But as far as hashava is concerned, even a hashava shalomi das bailim is sufficient. And the Rambam paskins like this in Gzeilav Aveda Perkid Aleph. And the Rambam seems to assume that this pasuk hashiv teshivim, the subject of this pasuk is the mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah of hashavas aveda. However, the Rashba points out at the end of Bab Metzia that what we're talking about here is not the mitzvah hashavas aveda per se, but also the chiyuv shomer aveda as far as didi mominis is concerned. So let's not limit our discussion, says the Rashba, to kiyum mitzvah, to defining the nature and the obligation of hashavas aveda as a mitzvah, but also as a chiyuv mamon b'toras chiyuv shomer. Now there is a difficulty here in reconciling this sugya with the earliest sugya. We said before that Rabbah is modeh that as far as Bali Chaim is concerned, you have to worry about gneva ve'aveda, and therefore when we talk about returning an animal, and we know we're talking about an animal here because the parsha itself of Hashavas Aveda in Kiteseid from Chav Beis Lo Tires Shor Achichol Shor Sev Nidachim Baderech, etc., etc., Ashi Teshivim Lo Achicha is addressing an animal. Then how could you possibly understand this brisa that based on the extra pasuk Tashivim, the extra word Tashivim, the Shomer Aveda could return the object to the Gina or the Churva She'eno Mishtameres, which is the low level of Shmira? After all, Rab is Moda, that in the case of Bali Chayim, you have to provide a Shmira Ma'ula. And Tosus and Bab Metzion Daf Chavtes answers this question by saying that we have no choice but to assume that Rabba understood in this question that we're talking about Bali Chaim Kfusim. We're talking about animals that were tied up that can't go out of the Gina. But if you're talking about animals that roam around, as we said before, then in the Havamina here that we're talking about a Gina Shena Mishtameres, that cannot be according to Rabba. There's no way, no how that you could be potur by returning the animal into a Gina She'ena Mishtameres, because the animal goes out and moves around. In any event, now we're going to have another question that's going to be raised, an objection against Rav Yosef, but this time by Abaye. Omale Abaye, Rav Yosef, Yatlo Tizbara, the Shomer Avedik, Shomer Chinam Dami. How is it possible that you would debate Rabba on this point? Certainly a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chinam Dami. And now we get into the sugya of Toen Tainas Ganav Bipikodon. So let's just say a few words about Toen Tainas Ganav Bipikodon. We'll talk about a Shomer Chinam when a regular Shomer Chinam. We're not talking about a Shomer Aveda yet. A regular classical Shomer Chinam, when time has come to return the object, and the Mafkid says to the Shomer, please return the object. Thank you for providing this service gratis of Shmira. And the Shomer Chinam says, you know what? I'm sorry to notify you, the object has been stolen. The object has been lost. Now, in such a case, the Shomer Chinam is potter, because the Shomer Chinam is potter for Gnev Vaveda. Later on, lo and behold, the Edom testify, again, exactly how they know this is a question, that the object was in the hands of the Shomer, the Shomer Chinam. He lied through his teeth. He actually took an oath, a false oath, and he perjured himself by saying it was stolen. He's holding on to it himself. He's the Ganav. So in such a case, the Shomer himself pays kefil. As Allah, of course, we know that the Torah penalizes a Ganav. Again, not a Gazlan who does it stealthily, but a Ganav. I'm sorry, not a Gazlan who does it in open air in the eye of the public, but a Ganav who does it stealthily has to pay kefil, double the price, another 100% of the price. And here too, in the case of a Shomer who stole the object, and how did he steal the object? How did he get away with it? He didn't actually go into the house of the Nignav and steal it. The object was given to him by the Nignav, but he stole it by presenting a Tainas Ptur, a Taina which potted him up. And that was a Tainas Ganav Bipikodon. Now, assuming that a Shomer Aveda has the status of a Shomer Chinam, then Nicho, we can understand the statement of Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoen Tainas Ganav Ba'aveda, a person finds a lost object, and we can identify the owner of the object. The owner of the object comes to demand the object, that it should be returned by the Shomer Aveda, the one who found the object, and lo and behold, the finder of the object claims that it was stolen. It was stolen, that's why he can't return it. He takes a Shvuah in Bezdin, because a Shomer Chinam has to take a Shvuah. Not only that, when the Edom come and testify that this Shomer Aveda stole the object, is Meshalim Tashlumi Kefal, he has to pay Kefal. And that would certainly indicate that the status of a Shomer Aveda is equivalent to that of a Shomer Chinam. Says Abai to Rav Yosef, Isal Kedaitach Shomer Socher Havi, is Amai Meshalim Tashlume Kefel. If we find the object in the Rishus of the Shomer Aveda. Why would he pay kefil for that? Karna boy Shlume, when he presented his claim that the object was stolen, he admits that he has to pay for it. And when you admit that you have to pay for the object, you're not considered a gazlan on the object, such that when we find out that you actually have the object stashed away, locked up in your closet, hidden somewhere in your basement, that you are a ganav. You're not a ganav at all. Why would you pay kefil for such a case? There's no chiv kefil in a toein tanas ganav unless this taina is a taina poteres. If he takes a shvu in Bezdin that he's potur, and he claimed that it was stolen, and that's the case of a shomer chinam, then when we find the object in his possession, he pays kefil. He becomes the ganav for kefil. But in a case of a shomer sachar, who by his own admission will pay, he won't take a shvuah, he's going to pay for Gnev Aveda, that's the nature of a Shomer Sachar. There is no Tony Tainis Ganav to pay Kefil. Now, according to you, Rav Yosef, since a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sachar, therefore there's no Tony Tainis Ganav to pay Kodon here. He's paying for the object when he claims it was stolen. Amalei. And this is already a subsidiary of a subsidiary of our sugya. Rav Yosef responds to Abai, Hochamai Askinon, why would Rav Yochanan establish, and in what scenario would Rav Yochanan paskin that a Shomer Aveda is chayev as a toin tainis ganav pikod? And that's a case where he claimed, Kigon shetoin tainis listim mizuyon. It means that there was armed robbery. That's how it was stolen. And that's considered an onus, which even a Shomer Socher is potter. When we say Shomer Socher is chai for Gneva, that's only Gneva when it was, you know, stealthily he crept into his basement and he stole it from the Shomer Socher. But if a bold and brazen, armed robber comes in to steal it from the Shomer Socher is potter. He doesn't have to give up his life for this. And a Shomer Socher, when he's approached by the mafkid, return the object to me, and he responds, well, it was an armed robbery situation, I'm sorry to tell you, but there was a list of mizuyon. That's a tainus p'tur. And indeed, the Shomer Socher will take a shvua to support that taina. And in such a case, he's chayev, toin tainus ganav b'pikadon. And that's the case of a Shomer Aveda. The Shomer Aveda is chai for toin tainis ganav b'kodon kefil, not because he was toin a tainis ganav, but he was toin a tainis list of mizuyon. Amalei Abai says, wait a minute, I don't get it. List of mizuyon, gazlan who? Right, the whole difference between a ganav who pays kefil and a gazlan is that a gazlan does it openly, brazenly. He approaches you and he steals it from you, looking you in the eye. In such a case, he's bold to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's bold in front of man, he doesn't pay kefil. That's called a gazan. A ganav is chayv kefil because he's embarrassed, he's trying to fake out man. He's not interested in God, he's interested in man, he pays kefil for that. But a list of mizuyim who's coming with armed robbery is clearly a gazlan. And therefore, if the Shomer Aveda, according to Rav Yosef and Shomer Socher, claims list of mizuyim, says Abai, I don't understand. That's not a toin tainas ganav b'pikod. And you're right, it's a tainas p'tur. But all other tainas, let's say the Shomer Socher comes up with a tainas onus that the object was completely washed away by a hurricane. You know, it was smashed in an earthquake. In such a case, he's not, even though he's lying through his teeth and he took a false oath to support that claim, so that he's potter, and now we find out that he stashed away the object, he's not chayv kefil. The only chiyuv of kefil is when you claim ganav. That claim of ganav makes you into a ganav and engenders a chiyuv kefil. All other tainus except for ganav, shar tainus we'll call them, do not engender a chiyuv kefil under the law of toin tainus ganav. We don't make the shomer into a ganav if he tainus p'tur, unless the tainis p'tur is gneva, and here he's tiny list of mizuya, so it's like a hurricane. Amalei, Rav Yosef responded to Abaye, Shani Omer, my understanding, my claim is that list of mizuya is considered a ganav. Why? Kevan de mitamar me'inchi, he's really hiding himself from people. And why is that? Because he's coming with with weapons, you know, so he is clearly afraid of people. He's not like a Goslin who just comes over and steals something from you. He's a Ganav. Again, he's a Ganav with a Tainus Ptur. Keep that in mind. Normally, a Shomer Socher, when he Tainus Ganav, is he's going to pay for that. So he's not a Toin Tainus Ganav. He's not going to take a Shvua. He's going to pay out of pocket. But there is one scenario in which a Shomer Socher could claim Ganav, that it was stolen, but nevertheless he's potter, and therefore the halacha of Toin Tainus Ganav will apply to a Shomer Socher. That's the claim of Lista Mizuyim according to Rav Yosef, who identifies Lista Mizuyim as a Ganav. Eisvei. So the Gemara now asks a question from a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to try to prove that Lista Mizuyim is not a Ganav, as Rav Yosef would insist. Now, what's the subject of this Braisa? In the Parash of Shomer Chinam in Shmos Chaf Beis, there's a halacha called Sholeach Yad Bepikadon, which means that the Shomer used the object for his own purposes. And that, of course, is not allowed. It's not acceptable. And there's a parsha of Shlichus Yad V'Pikadon that repeats itself twice. Once in Shomer Chinam, that's in Pasuk Zion in Shmos Chaf Beis, and again, three Pesukim later, in the parsha of Shomer Socher. And the question is, if Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon is Chayev in the case of a Shomer Chinam, then logically, with a kolshkein, how much more so in the case of a Shomer Socher? After Shomer Socher is chayav for Gnei Vaveda, as the Shomer Chinam is potter. So why did the Torah have to go out of its way in the parish of Shomer Socher to mention and to explicitly stipulate that Shlichus Yad Pikadon is a mechayav in Shomer Socher? And that's what the Braisa says, lo. Don't approach this parish with your kal v'chomer in your back pocket. Ima marta b'shomer chinam. I'm going to show you that there's a chumrah. Paradoxically, there's a chumrah in Shomer Chinam. Dafka because Shomer Chinam is kal, he's chomer, it's a kula shemevi l'idei chumrah. And that's why the Torah might have been machmir and shlichus yad, but that chumrah that applies to Shomer Chinam does not apply to a Shomer Socher. She came a shalom tashlumi kefel, betoin tainis ganav pikadon. The parish of Kefil and Toin Tainus Pikadon is limited to Shomer Chinam, because for him, the Tainus Ganav was a Taina Poteres. Masha Enkein, Tomar B'Shomer Socher, She'eino M'Shalom Teshlumi Kefil. There's no case in which the Shomer Socher could put forward a Taina of Gneva, and if indeed he stole the object, he'd be Chayv Kefil, because that Tainus Gneva he's Chayv to pay for. He doesn't take a Shvur to Pater him up. It's not a Taina Poteres. The Isalka Daitach, according to you, Rav Yosef, list the Mizuyan Ganav, who list the Mizuyan as the status of a Ganav, Nimtza, Bishomer Socha, Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, Betoin Tainus, list the Mizuyan. The Braisa is incorrect, so to speak, with a false premise that there's no Parsha of Kefel of Toin Tainus Ganav in Shomer Socher. Shomer Socher also has a Toin Tainus Ganav in the case where he was Toin Lista Mizuyim, because that's a Taina Poteres, and Lista Mizuyim is a Ganav. Again, had the Shomer Socher come up with a Tainas Ones, then he would be Potter, even if he took a false oath to support that Tainas Ones, the hurricane. In such a case, he would not be Chayev Kefil, because it's not a Tainus Ganav. But in the case of Lista Mizuyim, which is a kind of onus through Gneva, there it's a Tainus Ptur, and it's a Tainus Gneva at the same time. You have all the conditions of Toin Tainus Ganav, and he's Chayev Kefil, because he patterned himself with a Tainus Gneva when he said Lista Mizuyim. If that be the case, then it's not fair to say that Shomer Chinam has a Chumrah that doesn't appear, doesn't surface in Shomer Socher. Both Shomer Chinam in a regular Gneva Taina and Shomer Socher in a specific List of Mizuyim Taina have a Chiyuv Kefil under the law of Toin Tainus Ganav. So why is Shomer Chinam more Chumrah than Shomer Socher?
And how do you justify that the Torah had to repeat the chiyuv of Sholeach Yad Pikadon in Shomer Sachar Amalei? Rav Yosef responds, Hachi Kamer, this is the logic of the Braisa. Lo imamart, why is there a chumr in Shomer Chinam? Shomer Chinam, you had to tell me the chiyuv of Shlichus Yad Pikadon. No, the reason why there's a chiyuv of Shlichus Yad Pikadon is because of the chumr of Shomer Chinam. What's the chumr of Shomer Chinam vis-a-vis Shomer Sachar? She came in Shalom Tashlumi Kefa Bechol Tanosov. Any Tainus Gneva whatsoever, classical Gneva, forget about Lista Mizuya, that the Shomer Chinam puts forth in his defense, and he takes a shrua to support that taina, will engender a chiyuv kefal if indeed the Shomer Chinam is stashing away the object. Tomar b'Shomer Sachar, that's not so chamur. She'ena m'sham tashlumi kefal ela b'toin tainus listem mizuyah. There's only one specific taina. You whittle it down to that one case of tainus listem mizuyah, which engenders a chiyuv of kefal. But in all other tainus of Gneva, of Stam Gneva, classic Gneva, he would not be Chayav Kefal. Therefore, the Torah had to specify, had to spell out explicitly the Chiyuv of Shlichus Yad Pikadon in Shomer Sachar. The Gemara now is still objecting and resisting to this equation of Rav Yosef between List of Mizuyim and Agan of Esvei, Abai Es the Kasha, from the Parsha of Shoel. What's in the Parsha of Shoel? The Torah says, "V'nishbar omes." I'll read the whole pasuk. Be all of ein imo shalom yishalom. The shol is chayav even for onsim. That's the third parsha of Shomrim in Shmos Chaf Beis. So the Braisa says, "Ein li ella b'shvura umesa gneva v'aveda minayin." The Torah only specifies that a shol is chayav for onsim. It doesn't say anything about gneva v'aveda. Now, again, Lechora, this is a very strange question here. What kind of havamin is that? If a shoel is chai for onsim, how much more so is chai for gneva veda amrit? So the Gemara says that you can argue a kal v'chomer, ma shomer socha shepotu bo b'shvura mesa chai b'gneva veda, shol shechai b'shvura mesa, and a din shechai b'gneva veda. The Braisa says, I don't need, there's no compelling need for the Torah to specify that a shoel is chai for gnei v'aved. It's clear from a straightforward kal v'chomer. If a shomer socher is potter for onsim, yet he's chai for gnei v'aved, certainly a shoel is chai for onsim, is chai for gnei v'aved. V'zeo kal v'chomer she'ein olav tshuva. The Braisa says, there's no pircha, there's no possible objection that you could have to this kal v'chomer. It's ironclad. So Abai asks Rav Yosef, according to your ruling, your premise, that Listem Mizuyim has the status of a Ganov, and he pays Kefel, is Amai Enel of Tshuva. I have a great pircha to this Kalvachomer, Ikel Mifrach, Malish Shomer Sachar. The Torah is more Machmir in the Shomer Sachar, Shekem Misham Tashlumi Kefel, but Toin Tainis Listem Mizuyim. Again, it's not all tainus of a Shomer Sachar that would engender the Chiv Kefel of Toi Tainus Ganav, but at least in one case where the Shomer Sachar put forth the claim of Listem Mizuyim and he took a Shvur to support that claim, and we find the object in his Rishus, he pays Kefel, that's Toi Tainus Listem Mizuyim Pikadon according to Rav Yosef. And that's a chumer of Kefel that applies to Shomer Sachar according to Rav Yosef that has no parallel in the case of Shoel. Why? Because a shoel, even if he would claim Listem Mizuyim, that's not a taina poteres. Adarab, he's chai for all onsim, including Listem Mizuyim. So in that exact case, in a parallel case of shoel, he would not be chai of kefel. And that sets up Shomer Sachar as a chumer that vis-a-vis shoel, in that the Shomer Sachar might, in one particular scenario, pay kefel. And therefore, maybe the Torah says, you know, let's be machmer in the case of a Shomer Sachar to impose a chiv of Gneva Veda, and there's no parallel chiv in Shoel. Amalei. So now again, Rav Yosef has to somehow support this Braisa, justify this Braisa as Kal V'chomer She'ein Olav Tshuva, according to the premise of Rav Yosef that list of Mizuyim is a ganav, kasover haitaina, haitamna, karna below shvua, adifa mikfela bishvua. This line in the Gemara is particularly challenging. to explain the yesod that underlies the kalachomer, this brisa, according to Rav Yosef. And let's explain it according to Rashi. Rashi, in a sense, throws in a curveball. He says, "Afal pishiyesh b'shomer sachar kefel b'toin tainus listim mizuyim ein zeh chomer the kefel eino b'shomer matshi yishval l'sheker shenignava heimenu v'yakach bo eid hilka knasa mishum shvua hu the kansi rachman." Rashi splits up the chiyuvim of shomer into, I guess you call it, a brisket tzvei dinim, two fundamentally different categories. As far as chiyuve shmira, classical, which means that the shomer is chai for whatever mishap happened to the object, here, certainly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the kalvachomer of the brisa is an ironclad kalvachomer. Shomer socher is kal vis-a-vis shoel, because shoel is chai for onsim, and shomer socher is not. There's another dimension to chiyuve shomer that has to do with a false shvua. The Torah imposes a knas for a false shvua. In that sense, shomer socher has, again, in inverted commas, he has a certain chumra. What is his chumra? That he takes a shvua, and therefore that shvua will engender this penalty of kefel. So the mechayev here of kefel, in the case of Toin Tainus List the mizuyim in Shomer Sachar, or Ganav in general, the Mechayev is the false Shvua, the Shvua Sheker. That's a Knas, says Rashi, for the false Shvua. That has nothing to do with Hilchos Shmira, and Hilchos Chiyuve Shomer, and Hilchos Shmira Shomer. No doubt, and that's the Kavachom She'enel of Tshuva, the case of Shomer Sachar is Kal, vis-a-vis the case of Shoel. Shoel is more Chomer, he pays for own. And therefore, Kavachomer is going to pay for Gnev Aveda. Shomer Soch has a different possibility, namely, he may be able to take a Shvua Sheker on a Tainus Gneva, in this case, Listen Mizuyim, and the Shvua itself, the false oath, that perjury, is going to engender a Chiyuv Kefa. That's the way Rashi learns this Sugya. However, Tosvis, Dira Maschil Lo, which you'll see at the top of Daf Nun Zainamid Beis, has a different approach. Tosis explains in a different way that the Chiyuv Kefel is a result of the fact that he's potur to pay for the Karen. That's the Yesoda Yesodos of Toin Tainus Ganav B'Pikado. And that's not a Chumra at all. It's really a kula, meaning the fact that the shomer could get away with a taina of let's say, list of mizuyim, and pater himself up from any chiyuvim, that itself is essentially a kula. Again, it expresses itself in a chumra that, you know, he becomes a ganav now because he came up with a claim that paters him up, and the shol doesn't have a tainus patur. But that's not because shoel is kal vis-a-vis Shomer Socher. Adarabah, the opposite is true. Shoel is Chomer vis-a-vis Shomer Socher. The fact that a Shomer Socher's Chayev B'toin Tainus List of Mizuyin Kefel, that's a result of the Kula. That's essential to a reflection of the Kula of Shomer Socher, insofar as he has a Taina Poteres, whereas the Shoel does not. Lema Misayele. Perhaps we can prove that Rav Yosef is correct, and List of Mizuyin has the status of a ganav. And for this we have to learn a brisa. The brisa says, Hasocher para mechavero v'nignava. Now, what's the status of a socher? A socher pays rent, but he's allowed to use the object. Let's say in this case, he rents out a cow, and he uses the cow for whatever he uses it. He milks the cow, whatever it might be. What's the status of a socher? And this is a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in Masechta Bava Metzia Perek HaMafkid. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a socher, insofar as he has rights to use the object, has the status of a shomer socher. It's a higher level of shmir. We don't go all the way to that of a shoel, but we stop midway in this pshara situation of Shomer Socher. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, defines the status of a socher as that of a Shomer Chinuch. And the Nafkamina obviously is whether or not a Socher is Chayav for Gneiva Vaveta. So the Braisa says, HaSocher Bar Mechaver V'Nignava, it was stolen. V'Omar Halah, the Socher says, Hareini Mishalim V'Eina Nishba. I am going to take a Shvua. I am going to pay you rather than take a Shvua. Again, even though I could have claimed a ptur through Gneva, and I wouldn't have taken a shvur. Now, what kind of ptur through Gneva could he have claimed? And v'yakach nimtza ganav mishalim tashlumei kefil esocher. The socher, by virtue of the fact that he paid up for the object, he now becomes the bailim of the object, and any kefil is now paid to him. That's the yisodis of Perikah Mafkid, that by paying he's kona kefil. This seems to assume that toin tainas listim is a tainas gneva, meaning the claim here of the shomer, in this case the socher, is that I could have supported my claim, my tainus p'tur, with a shvua. And what tainus p'tur could he have had with a shvua? Let's assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the status of a socher is that of a shomer socher. So, if he's claiming nignava, what does it mean? Hareini mishalim v'eini nishba. It's as if he's kone kefil because he voluntarily decides that he's not going to take a shvur. What do you mean? If he's claiming gneva, then for sure he has to pay for that. You know, we're not going to give him the possibility of pattering himself up with a shvur. So how is it that this brisa says that that the socher was kone kefil and the ganav, if he's found, will pay kefil to the socher? What's going on over here? Savrua, Kirabiu, the Omer Socher, Kenose Sochadam. The premise of the Gemara's proof is that the author of this price is Rabbi Yehud. I mean, we're defining, as we said before, the status of a Socher is that of a Shomer Socher, Midiktani. And the price says, V'yomar Hareini Mishalim V'eini Nishba. Meaning, he had a Tainus Ptur, if he would have only agreed to take a Shvur to support that Tainus Ptur. And by offering to pay, rather than get off the hook through a shvua, he's kona kefel. Michlal di boy potali nafshi b'shvui. He could have patted himself with a shvua. Hechi dummy. How's that possible? A shomer socher could not taina gneva. And the case of the bride specifically gneva. That was the claim of the socher. And the answer must be by possible elimination. We have no choice. Kigon de katoin tainus listim izuyin. He could have took a shvua to support his claim of gneva and to exempt himself from payment because it was a list of mizuyin, which has the status on the one hand of a ganav, but on the other hand, it's an onus situation because it's list of mizuyin. As we said earlier, the shomer, in this case, the socher, doesn't have to put his life out on the line in order to face the list of mizuyin and get his block knocked off. So it clearly what we're seeing here is that the possibility of the socher putting forth a claim that would potter him up is not a claim of regular classical gneva, because for that he'd be chayv, but rather the claim that he's putting forth is this unusual kind of gneva, namely list mizuyon uketani. And yet the Braisa insists that the akach nimsa gan misham teshlumi kefil socher, the socher was kone kefil. And he was kona kefil because he voluntarily offered to pay for the object when he could have easily hid behind his tainus p'tur with a support shvua. Shma mino listim izuyim ganavu. We see that this claim would have been a claim of gneva through which he is kona kefil, even though it's a tainus p'tur, meaning even though it's a tainus listim izuyim. Is vice versa, we must conclude that list of mizuyim is a tainus ganav. Amri, the Gemara says, "Me savrid ki Rabbi Yehuda." Why do you attribute the authorship of this price to Rabbi Yehuda? The Amr Shomer Socher, that sochers can also say socher dummy. Dilma, why not assume that the author of this price is Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir sviuli the Amr Shomer Socher Shomer Chinam dummy, and a classical claim of Gneva, regular classical Gneva, would have been a Tainus Ptur. And therefore, you have no proof that a list of Mizuim is a Ganov. Ebayis Ema, the Gemara offers a second possibility. Even if you assume the Tana the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless, there's still no proof for Rabbi Yosef. Kidemachlif Rabba Baravua, there's a Mukhlefes Hashita of Rabba, who says Vitani, his gears in the Braisa is Socher Ketzad Meshalem, that the Machlokas Shin Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is just the opposite direction. Is Rabbi Meir Omer Kishomer Socher, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam? In other words, according to Rabba, if the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, we could talk about a classical Gneva Taina, because Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, according to Rabba's Girsa, is of the opinion that a Socher has the status of a Shomer Chinam, and therefore the Taina's Ganav of the Socher, again, classical Ganav, not list the museum, would be a Taina Poteres, and if he willingly, or shall I say, voluntarily offers to pay, then he's Kona Ganov, he's Kona Kefil of Ganov, but Taina's Ganov. Rabbi Zeri gives a third possibility to reject this proof that list of museum is a Ganov. Hochmai Askinon, Betoin Taina's list of Mizuyon, Vinimtsa, list him She'eno Mizuyon. Indeed, the Socher put forth a claim of Lista Mizuyim, but we found the Ganov, and we were able to prove through Edim that it was not a Lista Mizuyim case. And therefore, the Ganov is chayev to pay Kefel. Had he been a Lista Mizuyim case, he would not pay Kefel, but here he's paying Kefel because it was not a Lista Mizuyim case. So since in truth, Lefia Emes, this was a regular classical Gneva, and the Socher voluntarily offered to pay, and he didn't take a shvua, even though he claimed that it was list of mizuyim, he gets kefil in this case. So he gets kefil not because list of mizuyim is a ganov, but because his taina was a tainus ptur of list of mizuyim. In fact, the reason he collects kefil is because, in truth, the theft was a classical gneva theft, not a list of mizuyim theft, and that engenders a chiyuv kefil. Now, turn back the clock to the taina of the socher. Did the taina of the socher, was the taina of socher a taina of hapoteres, which had he support with the shvu, he would have been potami l'sham, and he voluntarily offered to pay out of pocket? The answer is yes, because as far as his taina is concerned, claiming as it were list of mizuyim, that's a taina poteres. And if he voluntarily offers to pay, despite his taina poteres, he says, I don't want to take a shvua, I'm going to pay out of pocket, then he's kona kefil. Ah, you'll ask me, where's the kefil? In a list of mizuyim case, we're rejecting Rav Yosef now, we're playing the devil's advocate, there is no din ganav to pay kefil. Because again, we're maintaining that since the list of mizuyim was open, brazen, and bold in the light of day, accosting the nignav, the nigzal, therefore he's a gazlan and not a ganav, he doesn't pay kefil. The answer is, the Edom came to testify that this was not a list of mizuyim, this was a classical gneva, and therefore he pays kefil, and the socher collects kefil. So the bottom line is, the Gemara comes to no definite conclusion either way as to whether list of mizuyim is a ganov, whether he pays kefil or not. There were Rayas Lakan and Rayas Lakan. We'll stop here.